So we meet in the name of God.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, God is one.
And so we sing our Trinitarian hymn, Holy, 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 on this Trinity Sunday. Today, we are being joined by Paula and Derek Finderson. They've been with us all along, but particularly they're joining us to tell us, share from their experience and their calling as mission partners. And so before Paula gives her testimony, we're going to hear our first reading from Romans, which Andrew and Hilary will be reading for us.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Paula.
Good morning.
Morning.
Back in 2011, I had been praying to the Lord that I would trust him more. I had a job, a car, and a nice place to live, but I knew that I relied on me and not on him. As I was praying this, I felt the Lord say, "Are you sure?" I thought this was a strange, as the Bible is full of trust me verses. So I said, "Yes, I'm sure." I felt that I was asked this question a number of times, and each time I answered that I was sure. On the morning of January the 3rd, 2012, Hurricane Sandy came across the Atlantic Ocean and hit our apartment on the west coast of Scotland. I heard a loud bang and jumped out of bed. And as I jumped out of bed, the ceiling landed on the bed. I ran to the middle of the apartment and saw that our flat roof had peeled back like a sardine can and was now lying in the back garden. The plaster was falling and the rain was coming through. And as I saw this, I prayed, Lord, what should I do? And he said, trust me. And I said, great, I trust you, but what should I do? I grabbed my hard hat from the cupboard and turned off the gas, the electric and the water. I knew that I was the only person on the block as all the other properties were holiday homes. And Derek, my husband, was already at work. So first things first, I realized I needed to get dressed. So I ran in and out of the bedroom, grabbing random clothing. I couldn't call Derek as he was driving a bus and God didn't seem to be giving me any clues. So I called the vicar. Good morning, says I. Good morning, says he. May I come to your house, says I. Of course, he says. Any particular reason? Yes, my roof is in the back garden and I would like to come now. As him and his wife jumped in their car, still in their dressing gowns, they came and got me. So I stood there outside in the pouring rain in my odd collection of clothes, my hard hat, my cat under one arm and my insurance papers under the other. It took me 2 days to get through to the insurance company and 3 weeks for them to come out, by which time most of our belongings had been destroyed as it's not stopped raining. The insurance company put us up in temporary accommodation and started work. About 3 weeks later, I got an email that's copied to me by mistake from the underwriter to the builder telling them to stop work because there was a problem with the insurance. After a lot of discussion, they decided we were not insured and we had to leave our accommodation. We ended up living in a caravan in the snow in Scotland in February and it was miserable. We had many people praying for us as this just seems so unjust. And as we were praying, I felt the Lord saying, trust me, trust me. I said, well, great, but what about this mess? We've lost our home and all our belongings. As you can imagine, this was a very stressful time and I couldn't concentrate on my job as a project manager. So my company offered me two choices, 10 months unpaid leave, or I could just leave. Derek and I had been talking for some time about doing our sailing licenses. So we went to Gibraltar for 3 months to live on a small sailing boat and learn. At about this time, our insurance case was referred to the insurance ombudsman to adjudicate. As we were about to take our final yachting exams, we got a 5-page letter from the ombudsman explaining that they couldn't help us and they closed our case. This was in August 2012. As this ruling was to the negative, the insurance company blacklisted us for making a fraudulent claim, and our neighbours were threatening to sue us as they could not get on with their repairs because our floor became their roof. This was the darkest time. We had lost our home, our possessions, my job salary, and now our financial reputation. We continued to pray and God continued to say, trust me. And I complained that the more I trusted, the more I lost. In October 2012, I went back to work. We were living in a place with no furniture, sleeping on the floor, facing mounting debts because we still had a mortgage to be paid and the threat of being sued. And it was winter again. In November 2012, I got an email from the ombudsman that they were going to reopen the case. This was a miracle as they closed the case 3 months before and we had raised no objections. In December 2012, they sent another email explaining they had changed their minds and overturned the decision. We were insured and would be compensated for our loss. We entered 2013 debt-free. As everything was going right and we were hallelujahing and feeling that the Lord was saying that everything was going to be okay, I felt the Lord say, well, you wanted to trust me, so trust me and give up your job. I was not happy, and I threw my toys about, and I complained to God that he obviously didn't understand what we'd just been through, and now he was to ask such a thing. But the message was clear, and eventually I did resign. As I was sitting in an apartment that wasn't mine, wondering what to do with my life, I got a phone call from the Vine Trust saying they had a ship in Gibraltar that was being converted into a hospital ship, and would I go and help? So I said, well, okay, when do you want me to go? They said, tomorrow. And that was it. I was off. After a couple of weeks, it became clear that this project would last a while. So after much prayer, Derek decided that he would also give up his job and come and join me. From there, we got an email from a mission ship in Sweden saying, would we go and help there? So that was it. From Gibraltar to Sweden, we were on a mission ship. And then from Sweden, we went to Greece on another mission ship because they had asked us to help them. During this time, we met the leader of the YWAM ship Next Wave, which is the one we're currently on, and he asked us to join with him. Eventually, our apartment was finished and repaired, and we sold it for the amount owed on the mortgage, as the property market had now crashed, but we were debt-free. We have not been in paid employment since 2013, and we don't own much, but God has proved himself faithful. We've never been without a meal or a bed. We have been to 9 countries on 4 continents, sailing ships and preaching the gospel. So I want to encourage you with the words we heard in the text earlier. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not angels, nor demons, nor the past, nor the present, nor collapsing roofs, nor even the coronavirus can separate us from his love or his faithfulness. And I would encourage you that if God is telling you to trust him in anything, great or small, do it, because he is trustworthy. Amen.
Thank you so much, Paula, for that really powerful testimony. It doesn't get less powerful, you know, on repetition. So I do invite you, we are recording the service, and please do listen to that again, particularly at times when you are feeling that it's difficult to trust in God. We're just going to pause for a moment to allow God, if there's anything in particular he wishes to say to us. So we're going to pause in silence, and then we're going to come to our time of confession, when we acknowledge the different ways in which we don't listen to God's voice and we choose our own way rather than his. God the Father forgives us in Christ and heals us by the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore put away all anger and bitterness, all slander and malice, and confess our sins to God our Redeemer. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins.
Christ, have mercy.
Spirit, you give us life and peace. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God forgive us all those who truly repent. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're now going to praise God for his forgiveness, for his grace, and for all he does, for his faithfulness, in these songs of praise together.
Thank you. passion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. To say, He is mighty to say, forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains, my God is mighty to say, He is mighty to say. And age to age he stands.
Now, Hilary and Andrew are going to give us our two readings from the Psalms, and then Derek is going to preach to us.
Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
And now, Psalm 139, verse 13. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for that. I hope you can all hear me correctly. Last week, I watched the live launch of the SpaceX rocket taking the astronauts to the space station. I was reminded of the time in July 1969 when I was 8 years old sitting glued to a black and white TV screen, watching first the launch of the Apollo 11 rocket, then 5 days later, watching the live feed of the landing on the moon, when Neil Armstrong said, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." It may have been one small step, but it was the first step of a human being on another world. The previous year, 1968, was a year of great civil unrest in America, where another man tried to take one small step and plant the seed of a dream for a brave new world. The recent events in our news showed that that particular seed has been much harder to germinate. Same ground, different soil. Similar civil and political unrest was coursing through the land of Judea over 2,000 years ago. It was into this emotionally turbulent world that a virgin received the seed of a long-cherished dream. A virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and he will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Luke 1:31, Matthew 1:21. So the Holy Spirit, the energy of God, conceived in Mary the promised Messiah. Psalm 139 describes in detail the wonders of conception, the beginning of human life. These verses show that even the life of the unborn child is of infinite worth to God and are a powerful argument against abortion, the deliberate and premeditated taking of an innocent human life. These verses show the Holy Spirit works to create every human child, not just that of the Lord Jesus, for we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, and not the result of some impersonal evolutionary machine. So in the fullness of time, Mary gave birth to her son, and the invisible God became visible in our visible world. Most of you will remember the very day your son or daughter took their first hesitant steps. One small step, yet very significant step. Mary got to see the wonder of God in Christ make his first hesitant steps into our world. Then for 30 years, God walked amongst men. Charles Wesley tried to capture something of that wonder in the line from the hymn, "Let Earth and Heaven Combine." The line says, "Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man." Psalm 8 records the wonder the psalmist felt about the God who created the world and heavens round about him. Yet as he gazed into the heavens, he felt himself so small, just one small man. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care so much about him? Ah, but God sees us very differently. He created us in his image. Our true identity is in who he says we are. Christ came to save us from our sins and make us children of God. We may appear to be very small in our own eyes, but that does not lessen our significance in God's eyes. Jesus was just one man. Ah, but he was so much more than just one man. His greatest achievement was his own death on the cross and subsequent resurrection, standing in our place, taking the justice for sin we so richly deserve, yet willingly exchanging his life for ours. In Christ alone, we are now a new creation, children of the resurrection, members of the kingdom of God, birthed that first Easter morn. Now, sermons can be like a buffet. A buffet is a system of serving meals in which food is placed in a public area where the diners serve themselves. The food is designed to appeal to a variety of differing tastes and diets. Now, the purpose of a buffet is not to eat everything that is put on the plate. Rather, it is so that everyone who comes to eat finds something that appeals to them, and that everyone who eats leaves satisfied. I have been giving you food for thought, in a way, like a spiritual buffet. Well, I am now coming to a speciality dish. This dish is more akin to steak for those of you who are deep thinkers. This is Trinity Sunday. The three persons of the Trinity are all completely and unanimously involved in the salvation work of Christ. The best explanation of the Trinity I have read is from the pen of Jonathan Edwards, an 18th century North American preacher, philosopher, and theologian. This is his words. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons equal in divine essence and glory. The Father has, from all eternity, begotten the Son, meaning that the Father has known himself from all eternity with such a fullness that the self which he knows is fully God, God the only begotten Son. And the Father and the Son have from all eternity, there are no beginnings in the eternal Godhead, loved each other, delighted in each other, with such a fullness that this infinite delight carries all the deity and stands forth as a third person, God the Holy Spirit. The Son is not an impersonal idea, nor the Spirit an impersonal emotion. They are persons, and all the fullness of deity dwells in God's image or idea of himself, and all the fullness of deity dwells in God's delight or love of himself. So, Jesus is truly the visible image of the invisible God. He is what the invisible God thinks of himself in a visible sphere. When Jesus hung on the cross, there was one small sign nailed above his head, which said, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Now it was written not in English, but in Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. In Aramaic, it said, Yeshua Hanzori Wumalek Yehudim. Four words, but the first letter of each of the four words spelt YHWH. This is the Jews' name of the holy name of God given to Moses at the burning bush. No wonder the religious authorities wanted the sign altered. It was saying that this is the holy God of Israel hanging on the cross, suffering, bleeding, dying for them, for us, for me. God loves us far more than we can ever know or understand. Without Christ, we are all eternally lost. He is the only way to the Father. Jesus still is in the business of saving souls today. People still need the Lord. That is why Paula and I will be returning, God willing, as soon as we can to the YWAM Next Wave. It may be one small step, but it is the journey of a lifetime. People need the Lord. What steps will you take this week to share the significance of that fact with those around you? Every journey begins with one small step. Yet one small step can have a significant impact. Zechariah 4:10 challenges us, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I would like to leave you with some pictures of the wonders of the creation in the small to demonstrate how amazing even the small can be. I went to a garden center with Paula and Marnie recently and took some pictures with a new type of lens Paula recently bought for my mobile camera. Could we have the first picture, please? Okay, this was taken with my normal camera lens. Beautiful flower. Next picture, please. This is that same flower, but the center section. Notice the detail, incredible detail that there is. When God looks at us with incredible detail, like Psalm 139 says, he says to us, you are beautiful. You are my creation. I love you. I created you. Next picture, please. Look at the infinite, the amazing detail in the minute. It is the small details, like the sign on the cross above Jesus' head, that distinguish authentic realism, that this is genuine from fake. You can't forge this detail. Next. This is another beautiful creation, and yet the flowers die and they're recreated. You will never, God has made you unique. You are never, ever going to be another one like you. You are infinitely valuable to God. Next one. You are also beautiful to God. And God wants to make something beautiful out of your life that will last forever. Trust him. Trust your life to him. You will never regret it. Amen.
Thank you, Derek, very much. We're going to listen now to a song that Derek and Paula suggested we listen to as a response to what God has said.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
As it is Trinity Sunday, we're going to be declaring our faith together in these words that remind us that we do believe with Jonathan Edwards and the church throughout the ages in one God in three persons. So we say together in faith.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
We believe in God the Father, who created all things.
For by his will they were created and have their being.
We believe in God the Son, who was slain.
For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation.
We believe in God the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Amen. And now Stephen is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray to the Father on this Trinity Sunday for his church and the world, and thank him for his goodness. Heavenly Father, raise you the family of Madeleine McCann. Comfort, Lord, as they wait for news of the new spiction in the disappearance of her. We pray that people will come forward with evidence so the right person is charged, so family at last can have closure. Life-giving Spirit, hear us, all. Hear us, we pray. We continue to pray, Lord, for all the nurses and doctors in the hospitals and care homes are working long hours caring for others during COVID-19, that they have the strength to care, carry on. Also, we thank you, Lord, for all those in our villages who have helped others during this time. Life-giving, Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
Heavenly Father, raise that you people in these other countries, now out the media spotlight, who are still suffering due to national disasters. We thank you for the aid charities work hard to support those people in their time of need. We thank you, Lord, for all those who work in the emergency services. Keep them safe, Lord, as they often work in daily decisions to rescue others. Life-giving Spirit,
hear us, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray for managed armed forces who are still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, other warm-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached in these places to end the fighting so further loss of life is avoided and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, for nurse doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who are badly injured. Give them strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray that you will bless and support the families, Lord, while the loved ones are away serving their country. We thank you, Lord, for the service charities who work to support those who are currently serving, or ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some help. Bless and God is our Queen, who is every nation and a way of justice and of peace, that men will honour one another and seek the common good. Life-giving Lord,
hear us,
we pray. We thank you, Lord, we are still able to meet for worship during lockdown through Zoom. Also, we thank you for the technical skills of Mark Allen to enable us to do this each week. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We thank you, Lord, the shopkeepers in our village, always there to provide what we need. Be with them, Lord. Life-giving Lord,
hear us,
we pray.
We pray for all those who are less fortunate than ourselves, do not know where their next meal is coming from and where they're going to lay their head in the warm tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those who work in the food banks to sort and distribute the food to those in need. Life-giving Lord,
hear us, we pray.
We now pause to write to the Lord any on our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Be with them all, Lord, at this time. We thank all those who work care for others at home. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now we're going to join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. And as in previous weeks, please say the version of the Lord's Prayer that is closest to your heart, as I say this, the version on the screen in the modern version. So we pray together saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. O God, our mystery, you bring us... Sorry, let's start that again. O God, our mystery,
you bring us to life.
Call us to freedom.
And move between us with love.
May we so join in your dance of Trinity,
that our lives may resonate with you now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And may God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you and all whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Amen. And so we're going to sing in a moment, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. But before we do that, it's been lovely to see you today. So if you want to hang on after, so if you wish to leave, please, nobody's stopping you. You have that ability, even easier than at church, to slip out without the vicar noticing. If you would like to stay behind and join in our after church coffee, then please do grab a coffee or a tea or other refreshments. And then without leaving the meeting, come back again. And then in sort of 5 minutes, so at about, it'll probably be about 10 past 11. What we'll do then is put people into slightly smaller groups, so it's easier for us to chat to each other. But first we're going to sing, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. So I hope to see you at 10 past 11 for our after church coffee.